Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our message is a gospel lesson, Jesus' own description of the Good Shepherd. Well, Sven and Lena made a trip to the Holy Land, and they were rather excited about it. They were in awe of walking on the same area of land that Jesus had. They were amazed at all the sights. They were fascinated with the Jordan River and the Dead Sea. And on the way back on the tour bus from that trip, they looked out and Sven saw a flock of sheep. He thought this was really cool. He'd get to see sheep and a shepherd in the promised land. But then he looked again and he was a little confused. And he said to the tour guide, "Wait a minute, I don't understand. I thought shepherds led from the front. This shepherd's from behind and he's yelling at the sheep." And the tour bus driver said, "Well, no, he's not the shepherd. He's the butcher." It's important for us to know what the shepherd really is and what is the good shepherd. Our Lord tells us today. It's important for us to hear. It is interesting that the fourth Sunday of the Easter season is always Good Shepherd Sunday. And it makes sense if we look at our Lord as our risen Lord and Savior alive. He is also our shepherd that leads and guides us. But our Lord today gives us a definition of the good shepherd. And that's what we'll examine. And in so doing, we'll find comfort and peace in knowing him not only as a shepherd, but knowing him as our good shepherd. And so we come to the text today. We pick it up in verse 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Just gives us a definition of a good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. But it's also interesting that he immediately then goes in to describe what bad shepherds are like. He tells us what they are doing. And what the difference is the bad shepherd thinks only of himself. He's not concerned about the sheep. We see this. He's concerned about his own safety. When he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees. He's not concerned about the sheep. He's not concerned about their safety. He's concerned about his own safety. And that is foremost in his mind and directs his actions. He's worried about himself. And Jesus speaks about bad shepherds because throughout the Old Testament, when the Lord talked about shepherds, it talked about good and bad shepherds. Bad shepherds have been part of Israel's history, kings and prophets who have led God's people astray. Ezekiel spoke about these leaders. He condemned them for their idolatry, but the other thing that he condemned them for time and time again is their failure to give justice. Their failure to give justice, especially to the poor and to the needy, the widowed and the orphaned. That those who were put into leadership within Israel were to take care of the people, to take care of the sheep. But these leaders ruled selfishly. They acted upon those things that they wanted. And even as we see Jesus speaking to the Pharisees today, we see bad leaders. Again, the context here is Jesus has just healed a man born blind. And what's the reaction of the leaders? It's not rejoicing as you would expect. It's condemnation of Jesus. How could he do this on the Sabbath day? They were concerned about their own place and position. They used the law as a way to control the people for themselves. And as we think about it, are there any bad shepherds today? Think about leaders within secular and within religious circles. Are there those who lead selfishly again? We see it, do we not? It can happen in politics. It can happen in business. It can happen in communities. It can even happen within the church. That those who lead not for the sake of those under them, but they use the people under them for their own designs and their own desires. And it can lead many people astray. But also another problem is that the sheep can also take on the same flaws as those bad shepherds. Think about it. It's very clear Jesus is condemning the leaders. Ezekiel condemned the leaders who were selfish. Are there any selfish sheep? Are there any times when we are selfish? Do we at all put our needs and our desires above the needs of those around us? How often in life do we do that? Even that term good, because we're talking about a good shepherd, is defined by what we want and what we like, right? It's really subjective. And whatever is good is what fits our idea of good. So many things are read and looked at through the prism of how it affects me. But the truly good shepherd is the one that looks after the needs of others. That's what Jesus is saying here. The good shepherd is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. He sets aside completely his own needs and his own safety, his own concern, so that he might give life to the sheep. And he does it willingly. Jesus clearly says that he lays down his life willingly, and he then takes it back up. He does this all so the sheep might belong to him. Is this not the ultimate example of putting others first? And in so doing, he earns forgiveness for the world. He earns forgiveness for you. Your sins have been paid for by this good shepherd. No matter what the sin is, the selfishness that we have, putting ourselves before others, whatever the sin, it's been covered, it's been paid for once and for all. We are forgiven. You are forgiven because you have a good shepherd who loves you. And so that's the first definition of a good shepherd. It's interesting, as you go through the text and you come to verse 14, our Lord gives us another definition of what it means to be the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Jesus is clear. He's the good shepherd, not only because he lays down his life for the sheep, but because he knows his sheep. He knows the needs of his sheep. He knows your need. He knew your greatest need, right? Your greatest need caused by sin, the need for forgiveness, the need for love, the need for guidance. And so he laid down his life and took it back up for you. But he also knows your other needs, your daily needs, the need, physical needs, the spiritual needs. Isn't this the picture we see in Psalm 23 of a shepherd who provides for the needs of his sheep? Think about the lines that he leads them to green pastures and quiet waters. Isn't that a picture of a Lord who provides for our physical needs? Who gives us the ability to work and to provide for ourselves and to provide for others? Who gives us a ground and a world in which we can cultivate and to use to provide for all people? But he's also the shepherd who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death, who comforts us with his rod and his staff. He provides for our spiritual needs. He's the shepherd that never leaves you, who leads you through all things, the joys and the sorrows, and he supplies your need in the midst of those. He brings comfort. He brings peace. He reminds you of his love. And in knowing you, the second half of this is he makes himself known. I always wonder about the first day a shepherd's on the job. It's got to be a tough day, right? The sheep don't know him. That can only come after a while. After he cares for them, after he leads them and he guides for them, he provides for them. After a while, the sheep then associate with him, the one who provides, the one who gives green pastures and quiet waters, who provides protection, and then they place their trust in that sheep, the shepherd. And isn't that the way the Lord has done for us? He first makes himself known. In the second service, we have a wonderful example of this in the waters of baptism, that's where the Lord makes himself known as our shepherd, and that we are his sheep. And then he continues to come to us with the word and the sacrament. He continues to provide for us so that we associate with him as the one who provides for us our greatest needs and all of our needs, so that we can rely upon him. Since he knows us so well, we see in him the one that we can rely upon and the one that we can trust. And not only does he want it to do for you and for me, he wants to do this for everyone. He wants to be the shepherd of all people. That's what he says in verse 16, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, that they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." His desire is that all receive the benefit of what he has done as their shepherd, that all might see the benefits of his laying down and picking up his life, that he might lead and guide all. And so we show our love for our Lord and our love for our neighbor. That's what John says in his epistle today, that we live out the love that the Lord has given us, so that in our actions and in our love, others will recognize that the Lord loves them. So that we're all together in the Lord's love and guidance. Again, as we conclude, we can think about the Good Shepherd. But as I said earlier in the sermon, we think of it subjectively. We decide what is good based on what we want or what we desire. The Bible uses that term differently. The Bible uses that term in reference to the things of God. The things of God are good. They're holy, they're pure. The things that are in accordance with His will. And God's ultimate will is the salvation of souls. When the Bible says something is good, is it leads to life and salvation. And so as we conclude this idea of the Good Shepherd, He is a shepherd that leads us to the salvation. That's ultimately what makes Him the Good Shepherd, is that He leads and guides you with a purpose, that He wants you to have eternal life, that He wants to be your shepherd now and forever, that He lays down His life and picks it back up so that you can have that gift and be part of His flock, part of His kingdom, now and forever, and that we forever have Him as our Good Shepherd. Amen.